I was actually literally just today talking to a facial recognition vendor.
What about?
So they're in the middle of filing a patent where artificial intelligence or machine learning system will look at your face and determine how you feel.
This is Bloomberg tech columnist Parmi Olson.
Which will allow them to analyze the faces of stock market traders and bond traders to get a sense of where the market is moving based on the emotions shown on the faces of these traders. In a way, that sounds maybe a little bit innocuous, if not a very odd way, and potentially a disastrous way to determine where the market is going. I don't know that that would work. But I think the question is, well, what happens when all these different vendors and stakeholders have access to our faces and can maybe get to a point where they want to start drawing inferences about us based on our faces?
Now, even if making market decisions based on the minute facial expressions of day traders sounds far-fetched, Parmi says the basic technology behind it is not.
So these systems are essentially trained on millions and millions of actual photos of people, and the more data it has, the more accurate it can get. And I think the concern is that this technology is so widespread and so actually not that difficult to build. Some of the technology is open source. There are billions of images of faces on the internet. It's relatively cheap to do it.
Yeah, and it's so cheap that you have written about how this software is now used pretty widely in retail, even gas stations, convenience stores.
Yeah, I think the main reason that retailers want to use facial recognition in their shops is to actually look for unwanted individuals. So there was a chain of stores in the UK that hired a security system, a facial recognition security system, to be installed. Let's go to Aylesbury, Southern England, and to a Budgens store.
Parmi Olson continues from the TED stage.
Now, Budgens in this particular town has been having trouble in the last few years with people coming in and stealing meat from their refrigeration aisle. So a year ago, they installed some new technology from a company called FaceWatch. And through their usual CCTV cameras, FaceWatch's computer and software would scan every single face that came into the Budgens and match it up against a watch list. Now, this watch list is processed by FaceWatch, and Budgens can also add to it if they suspect someone of stealing. And I called up the Budgens and asked how they thought it was working. And the staff member there told me that his phone gets pinged up to 10 times a day with an alert to say that someone has walked in the store who matches the watch list. So if that happens, he might call the police if it's an aggressive person, or he might just say, hey, you're on CCTV. And actually, it works pretty well, he said. He thinks it's helped. But there's a few concerns about FaceWatch. So first of all, to get on the watch list, you don't have to be arrested, and you don't have to be charged by the police. There's no real legal due process. And the other thing is that to be uploaded onto the servers of FaceWatch to be on a watch list, you can be on it for up to 2 years, and you won't be taken off.
So this is a security company that relies on watch lists. And anyone with clearance, I guess that could be a store employee, they could add someone to the list. And then what? That information is shared?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Each store would have their own watch list, and they would share the watch lists with each other. So you'd have an even bigger watch list. And yes, the people who are on these systems, this is a private system. This is not something where there's a court order or a warrant or anything like that. This is totally done privately by a business. It's their own private watch list that they've put together.
So, Parmi, one of the underlining problems with this kind of mass surveillance is that sometimes the algorithms are wrong.
Right. When I talked to one of the people who worked at one of these stores, they said that about 25% of the time, the system was wrong. So they would get the alert, get told that person had walked in, then they'd walk around and they'd see actually it wasn't that person.
And so they had to really be careful to trust that the system was correct. In the real world, when, you know, the lighting isn't that good and the image might be a little bit grainy, not surprisingly, the system was getting it wrong 1 out of 4 times.
Wow. And I can imagine someone thinking like, okay, well, it's a grocery store. But if you're talking about a situation involving law enforcement, that could get quickly escalate, I would think.
Yeah. So a police officer has a body cam with facial recognition or a camera on their van with facial recognition, and they detect someone. And if that person has increased melanin in their skin or they're black, essentially, then it is more likely to make a mistake in identifying that person. And the reason is that the databases that these facial recognition models are trained on typically have way more white people than black people. And so the system just isn't trained enough on black people, so it doesn't identify them properly. It makes more mistakes, and that has happened. And it's probably going to continue to happen, too.
When we come back, what are we willing to stomach in a face-tracking-filled future? On the show today, What's in a Face? I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Stay with us. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And on today's show, what's in a face and how companies will use them to make money. We were just talking to Bloomberg columnist Parmi Olson.
Each of one of our faces has a face print. It's like a fingerprint, except it's a string of numbers that corresponds with the image of our face. And there are lots of databases of people's face prints out there on the internet.
And even if they aren't identifying us by name, our faces can be tracked, categorized, and profited off of. For example, a few years ago, Walgreens installed cameras in some of their stores that identified shoppers by age, gender, and then displayed targeted ads.
Yo, new Sprite?
Like, no, do you look male Sprite. And around 20 years
same
old?
Refreshing Sprite.
Buy a Sprite.
New Lipton Green Iced Tea.
50 and female? Maybe a green tea.
Your Subaru has a driver monitoring system.
Car maker Subaru's new vehicles use facial recognition tech that create user profiles
driver's unique seat and mirror preferences.
And even alert a driver if they seem distracted or tired. And then there are casinos.
So there is a casino in London which has facial recognition cameras dotted around all the different rooms. And it uses that so that when high rollers walk into a certain room, then the staff get an alert on their phone, which gets sent to an encrypted chat app they use called Wicker.
Mm.
And then they notify each other like, oh, so-and-so, this hostess should go up because that's the high roller's favorite. We know that they like this particular type of food and this particular type of drink. And so they can actually provide a better service, and they call it their white glove service. And I remember asking the head of security, well, are the patrons actually a little bit put off by that? And he said, not at all. Not a single one thinks that that's even the slightest bit creepy. They just see it as part of the service. It's what they expect. And I think it's a nice little allegory for just how this kind of surveillance is going to eventually come to serve the rest of us as consumers, that the convenience will ultimately be something that we just take for granted, and we won't worry too much about the price that we're paying with our privacy. And I think that is just the way it'll go.
I mean, I guess I can see the appeal if you're opting into a luxury service. I mean, that just feels very different than being tracked while you're walking down the street or going into a store. I just don't think that that is something a lot of us would sign up for.
Yeah, I would say that facial recognition definitely has become a controversial subject. And I think that's made it difficult for brands, for advertisers who might be able to benefit from using it to target their brands at people. They've had to take a step back.
Yeah, there are a number of retailers now, I think this is what you're referring to, who are facing lawsuits for surveillance, for gathering data on their customers without consent.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like for now, it just feels like whack-a-mole because we have not figured out as a society, what we think is okay and what isn't okay when it comes to face tracking.
Yes, that's right. Companies who develop these kinds of systems need to be very careful. There needs to be more ethical oversight of how these systems are developed. And right now, that's only going to come from regulation, which is a couple of years away, yes, but also campaign groups. And there are some really good civil liberties groups in the United States and Europe who are really keeping an eye on this and just helping keep companies on their toes. If there wasn't the amount of kind of upset that had been created around facial recognition, I think there'd be a lot more advertisers using it right now. But because people have really rung alarm bells about it, then I think that's made companies really just take stock and just sit back and just say, okay, let's just be a little bit more cautious about how we use this. And I think that's a really good thing.
Given that there still aren't major regulations out there around facial recognition, I mean, are we just at the point of no return here? Can't go back.
There definitely needs to be more laws and regulation, but we have sort of gone past trying to force companies to design algorithms in a way that are safe and ethical, because the algorithm's already out there. But there is a law coming from the European Union called the AI Act, and it actually bans all forms of facial recognition for surveillance by police, unless it's for trying to combat terrorism. So that's a pretty blunt rule, and I mean, that's going to be the first kind of comprehensive legislation around the use of artificial intelligence algorithms. I think the issue with it is that it is so broad. It's not just about facial recognition. It's about all forms of AI. So whether that's recommendation systems on social media or facial recognition, you know, it covers a lot. And so enforcing it, I think, is going to be difficult.
You know, one of the reasons all this tracking is possible is because we have accepted the idea that cameras are in our pockets all the time. They're on our doors. They are all over public spaces. And we're okay with it. We are okay, largely, with being surveilled.
Yeah. There's something like 20 million homes in the U.S. have a video doorbell. The thing about Ring doorbells that I think is really interesting is that actually the studies that have been done about just how effective these cameras are in reducing neighborhood crime show that the evidence is really flimsy. There's actually not much evidence that they do reduce crime, but the big impact is on human sentiment. So the owners of these cameras feel a greater sense of security and a greater sense of control. But then on the other hand, we also collectively come to accept that our behavior is being watched. So yeah, take that how you will. I think we are just an increasingly surveilled society. And I think people are just like slow-boiled frogs. We're increasingly accepting of it because it's just what's happening, for better or worse.
That's Parmi Olson. She's a tech columnist at Bloomberg. And you can see her full talk at ted.npr.org. And earlier, we heard from super recognizer Yeni Sa, who works as a translator in Australia.